Good evening, everyone. This is WUIS's live coverage of a speech by President Barack Obama to the annual banquet of the Abraham Lincoln Association at the Crown Plaza Hotel on Dirksen Parkway here in Springfield. I'm Rich Bradley, along with WUIS State House Bureau Chief Sean Crawford, who is holed up in a media room immediately adjacent to the hotel's banquet hall, where the president will soon be speaking. It'll be a brief visit to Springfield by the president, who flew aboard Air Force One from Peoria, where he spent the afternoon at Peoria-based Caterpillar. And Air Force One landed at Springfield's Capital Airport at 6:30 this evening. And I already hear, Sean, hail to the chief in the background.
That's right, Rich, and for the same reason that you would expect, he has now entered the room here at the Crown Plaza, a banquet hall on the second floor of the hotel here on the east side of Springfield, and he is now shaking hands with a lot of people as he walks in. This could take a little bit of time for him to get seated. He will be joining several dignitaries at a head table in this room, which we expect 1,000 people or more could attend this dinner tonight, which is, of course, not only a special event tonight because of the 200th anniversary of the birth of Abraham Lincoln, but made even more so as the president making this appearance as well. So he is waving as he comes in. You're right, we are off to an adjacent room, so you will hear us at times. You will hear some sound, and at other times you will not hear sound from that room. But right now he is coming in and making his way to the head table, of course, doing a lot of handshaking on his way.
Sean, it was just a little more than 2 years ago that Barack Obama, then Illinois' junior U.S. Senator, made his announcement that he was going to make the run for president. That was on February 7th of 2007. You were down there on that day, a very cold day, in fact.
It was a very cold day, and certainly much better weather today for this event. What is amazing, of course, is this is the first trip back to Springfield since his election as president, which he, of course, won back in November. And he's, of course, getting quite a rousing applause from the people here in the hotel tonight. Just to let people know what will be taking place, Jim Edgar, who is the former governor of Illinois, will be the MC tonight, and he will be at some point giving some remarks, and then as we move along, the president will be speaking. We've been told for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll be leaving this facility and heading back to his airplane, which is waiting at the Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport in Springfield before flying back to Washington. So he will give a few remarks. It won't be a long speech tonight, but of course Barack Obama on that cold November day, or I'm sorry, February day, when he announced that he was going to run for president, did touch on Abraham Lincoln and what Lincoln meant to him.
And it was at that rally when he announced his candidacy.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm Richard Hart, president of the Abraham Lincoln Association.
Richard Hart is the president of the Abraham Lincoln Association, and he is also going to be giving some remarks. He's presiding over tonight's dinner.
And I'm Marilyn Kushak, chair of the Illinois Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission. On behalf of the commission, welcome.
Mr. President, we are honored that you have come back to Illinois to celebrate the 200th birthday of Abraham Lincoln in Springfield. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you're already standing, but would you please remain standing for the presentation of the colors, which will be made by the 114th Illinois Volunteer Infantry Regiment reactivated.
While we wait for the presentation of the colors tonight, we should point out that anybody who might be traveling on the east side of Springfield or around the Crown Plaza this evening, at least for the next hour or so, will be running into a lot of security, a lot of traffic that is going to be tied up as people are being turned away from this area because security is so tight. So again, if you are heading in this direction along Dirksen Parkway, especially near Stevenson, you might want to look for an alternate route, at least for the next hour or so.
It wasn't very long after President Obama was inaugurated that speculation here in Springfield began to bubble to the surface that the invitation to him to come to Springfield on February the 12th, the 200th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth. The invitation had been extended through Illinois senior senator, Dick Durbin, and there had been a lot of hope and enthusiasm about the prospect the president would in fact be able to make the trip, and here he is. And he has a tie to Lincoln. He's used it, and he even invoked Lincoln many, many times during that speech 2 years ago.
In the face of impossible odds, people who love their country can change it. That's what Abraham Lincoln understood. He had his doubts. He had his defeats. He had his skeptics. He had his setbacks. But through his will and his words, he moved a nation and helped free a people. It's because of the millions who rallied to his cause that we're no longer divided, North and South, slave and free. It's because men and women of every race, from every walk of life, continued to march for freedom long after Lincoln was laid to rest, that today we have the chance to face the challenges of this millennium together, as one people, as Americans.
Barack Obama, then Illinois' junior U.S. Senator, speaking on February 7th, 2007, at the old state capitol here in Springfield. Presentation of
Please
the colors.
Join.
And now the Pledge of Allegiance.
Choir in singing our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars
the presentation of the colors, the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem. Sean, what's next on the program?
We're going to have the invocation. The Reverend Gary McCants of the African Methodist Episcopal Church will deliver that. And then we're supposed to have some remarks and an introduction from the MC tonight, which is Governor Jim Edgar, the former governor of Illinois.
And things running right on schedule. This is going to be a very brief visit by the president to Springfield this evening.
Correct. He was in Peoria early today, of course, at a Caterpillar plant there, touting the stimulus package, which he has supported and pushed for so long, and then making this appearance tonight. But we've been told he is going back to Washington this evening once his speaking engagement is over here tonight in Springfield.
Would you please be seated?
Taking a little time to get everybody seated once again. 1,000 people in this banquet hall tonight.
There were two banquets in Springfield to celebrate the 100th birthday of Abraham Lincoln. One of those banquets was held by the Lincoln Centennial Association, and it was held at the Old State Armory in downtown Springfield. That banquet was the predecessor of tonight's banquet. There was a second banquet in Springfield that same night, and it was held at the African Methodist Episcopal Church on Springfield's east side. The newspaper of the day described that banquet as having been given by the, quote, colored citizens of Springfield. Tonight, there is one banquet in Springfield. So let us celebrate together the 200th birthday of Abraham Lincoln. He would approve. And I can see him smiling and giving us all a thumbs up with a happy face on his expression. Surely in this, together, we have all been touched by the better angels of our nature. Tonight, the invocation will be given by the Reverend Gary McCants, a former minister of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, which is now known as St. Paul's. Reverend McCants.
Mr. President and members of the dais, all of you, my father's children, won't you bow your hearts with me, please? God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thine ancient church's story. Bring her bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Gracious God, our Father, we come and invite you to bring your holy presence into our midst. God, our Father, only you are holy, only you are an awesome God. What a mighty God you are. We give you all honor, glory, and praise. We gather here to celebrate the 200th birthday of Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, Illinois' favorite son, and America's most famous citizen. For him and what he means to us, Lord, we say thanks. Thanks for how you manifested yourself in his life. And it was despite the tensions that lingered in this city from the 1908 riots. All reports do indicate that St. Paul AME Church and the Illinois Colored Historical Society enthusiastically honored President Lincoln on his 100th birthday. It was a perfect, standing room only centennial celebration. I believe that speaks to the esteem held for him then and for what we express here today. There are some things that only the Lord can do. We can believe that because your word tells us that all that is good and perfect comes down from the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. We can believe that you had a special purpose for Lincoln's life because you have a special purpose for each of our lives. Because of the calling that you had on Lincoln's life, we can be assured that you were the one who kept him as he grew up without his mother, that you were the one who watched over him as he struggled with many issues and dichotomies of life, including dealing with death and depression, and that regardless of his many trials, it was you who helped him to hone his writing and oratorical skills, which have inspired a nation. Psalms 138, 7 and 8 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Likewise, we can easily believe that God, it was you who gave him the love for the law and the understanding of the value of a political career, ultimately seeking the office of presidency, which has encouraged thousands to seek public service. God, we can see your hand in all of this, and to God be the glory for the things he has done. And on February 11, 1861, as Lincoln was departing this city, he expressed his sadness as well as his gratitude to the people in uttering these words, "My friends, to this place and the kindness of these people, I owe everything." What happened in the past certainly has implications for the future. Proverbs 21:1 tells us that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. And as such, we know that Lincoln was in your hand. And we know his life and his career and his love for Springfield have been an inspiration for President Barack Obama, our 44th president. Our prayer is that as you were with President Lincoln, that you also be with President Obama. Grant him wisdom. Grant him courage for the facing of this hour. We pray, God, that you empower him to follow your lead as he addresses the unprecedented challenges facing our nation. Our prayers extend to his wife, Michelle, his daughters, Malia and Sasha, to his cabinet and his staff. And now, we ask, God, for your blessing upon the food that we will consume. We pray that it will be upon the hands which prepared it for the nourishment of our bodies, our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And it's through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit forever, we say amen, amen, and amen again.
Amen. Thank you. I would like to introduce our master of ceremonies for this evening. It's a man that you all know, the Honorable Jim Edgar, former governor of the state of Illinois. Governor Edgar.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dick. I am very honored tonight to serve as master of ceremony of this very historical gathering. And, Mr. President, you can draw a pretty good crowd. You know, you've come a long way. I'm not sure 12 years ago when you came here first as a state senator, you'd had quite this crowd. You know, the last few weeks, Illinois politics is taking its lumps. But let me just say, now, Illinois politics is not perfect. I would never claim that. But Illinois politics has produced some outstanding public servants. The person we honor tonight, President Abraham Lincoln, was a product of Illinois politics. More recently, Adlai Stevenson, Everett McKinley Dirksen, Richard Ogilvie, Paul Simon, just to name a few, are products of Illinois politics. And there is no doubt in my mind, in a few years, when historians revive, update that list, high on that list will be the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama. Mr. President, we are honored to have you with us here tonight. Now, for historical purposes, we are going to take the official photo of this evening. Now, in 100 years, when the tricentennial, I got that right, dinner is held, probably most of us won't be able to make it. But with this picture, they can remember us. So now I ask everyone to put on their smile, and Ron Schramm is going to take the photo and look over that way. That's the northeast corner. And you can't stand up, though. Nobody hog the picture. Just okay, you got to wave your hand. I can hardly see you, Ron. You want the head table to stand? Head table, stand.
This is the taking of the official photo for tonight, something that will be kept in, as a memory of this evening and for history and for purposes going forward. This is, of course, the Abraham Lincoln Commission's bicentennial banquet for the birthday of Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, thank you.
And Jim Edgar, former governor of Illinois, speaking now. President Barack Obama will be taking to the podium in just a few moments.
It's now my privilege to introduce someone who's not here, because the president wouldn't let him come. He had to stay in Washington prepared to make a vote. But the gentleman I'm to introduce will be here by technology. And again, is someone that you all know, Senator Dick Durbin. Senator Durbin has served Illinois in this area of the state for many, many years in a very distinguished manner. For several years, he was the congressman from here in central Illinois. More recently, he's been the United States Senator from the state of Illinois, and just recently has become the number two leader in the United States Senate. Now, Dick and I, we've known each other since back in the late 60s and early 70s when we were both legislative staffers. I've always thought that Dick Durbin is one of the most intelligent and articulate public servants in this state, and I was always very happy that we never met during a ballot election. He has accomplished much, and he's been particularly supportive anything to do with Lincoln. And we're sorry that he couldn't be here tonight in person. We understand why he couldn't. Priorities, first things first. But it's indeed my pleasure to introduce to you the senior senator from the state of Illinois, Dick Durbin.
Senator Durbin not here tonight, but he
I'm
did
sorry
take
I cannot be back in my hometown for this historic night, but you might say I'm on a presidential assignment in Washington. Let me welcome the president to a town that has meant so much to his public life. Mr. President, you came to Mr. Lincoln's hometown to announce your candidacy. You came back as our party's nominee to announce your choice for vice president. In light of the good luck Mr. Lincoln has brought to you and our nation, it's only fitting that you would return to join us in wishing him a happy 200th birthday. But why does this man, this prairie lawyer, still enthrall us decades after he's gone? I believe it's because his words and his life still speak to us today. He told us we cannot escape history. He told us we will be remembered in spite of ourselves. His presidency was consumed by the fiery trial of our deadliest war. But from the crucible of our Civil War, Lincoln fused the strong alloy of a united America. Since Lincoln's day, we have faced another fiery trial, as we have struggled to end not just slavery, but the hatred and the ignorance that spawned it. Millions have suffered, and many have even died, in that struggle to bring a new birth of freedom, freedom from racial discrimination, to our land in our time. Their names are legend: King, Kennedy, Parks, Johnson, Evers, Lewis, Douglas, Truth, Tubman, Robinson, Schwarmer, and so many more. 100 years ago to this very day, 2,000 people gathered here in Springfield at a similar banquet to honor the centennial of Lincoln's birth. It was only 6 months after a deadly race riot had occurred in the heart of Mr. Lincoln's hometown. At that banquet, there were ambassadors, senators, Civil War veterans, Mr. Lincoln's son Robert, and even a former presidential candidate, but not a single black guest. The black community in Springfield organized its own Lincoln Centennial at the African Methodist Episcopal Church. The Reverend L.H. McGee spoke at that gathering and noted the widespread feeling of hurt over the exclusion of people of color from the main Lincoln banquet. McGee looked ahead 100 years to 2009, and he made a prediction that Americans by then would have, in his words, banished all prejudice as a myth relegated to the dark days of Salem witchcraft. Pastor McGee had a vision of a new America, but he could never have imagined that in 2009, 2 million Americans, black, white, and brown, would stand shoulder to shoulder in the shadow of the Capitol Dome in Washington to cheer the inauguration of our first African-American president. Pastor McGee could not have dreamed that bricks laid by the hands of slaves would make a home in our White House for a family of color. Lincoln told us we could not escape history, but because of Lincoln's dedication to a United States of America and his courage to challenge our people to end the injustice of slavery, we come here tonight to announce that America has made history. On the occasion of the 200th anniversary of the birth of the great emancipator, Mr. Lincoln's hometown proudly welcomes the 44th President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
President Obama getting a standing ovation from the crowd, and now he'll deliver his remarks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please, everybody, have a seat. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, it is wonderful to be back in Springfield, and I see so many familiar faces, to Mr. Hart, to Marilyn, to my Secretary of Transportation, Ray LaHood, to two of the finest governors that we've had in the past, Jim Thompson and Jim Edgar. To Laura Lynn Ryan, and to our new governor, who's going to be doing outstanding work for us in the future, Pat Quinn. To Reverend McCants, and to my dear friend Loretta Durbin, I do feel guilty because Dick was the one who brought this event to my attention. I'm here, and he's there. Part of the reason that Dick Durbin has been such a great friend, not just to me, but to the people of Illinois, is because his work always comes first, and he has been unbelievable in providing leadership in the Senate through thick and through thin. And I'm very, very grateful to him. He is one of my greatest friends, and I would not be standing here if it were not for Dick Durbin. So please give Dick Durbin a big round of applause. So it is wonderful to be back in Springfield, the city where I got my start in elective office and where I served for nearly a decade. I see some of my colleagues, your Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, in the House, and you've got some constitutional officers there. I think that's Alexi, your Treasurer, who's going to be playing basketball with me at some point, Dan Hines, Comptroller, and just an incredible supporter during this past race, and your new Senate President, John Cullerton, one of the sharpest legislators that we've ever had. Is the Speaker around? He's over there. Mr. Speaker, it's good to see you. Thank you. So I've got a lot of friends here. I've got to stop there, otherwise I'm going to be using up all my time. So I served here for nearly a decade. And as has already been mentioned, this is where I launched my candidacy for president 2 years ago this week on the steps. On the steps of the old state capitol where Abraham Lincoln served and prepared for the presidency. It was here nearly 150 years ago that the man whose life we are celebrating today, who you've been celebrating all week, bid farewell to this city that he had come to call his own. And as already been mentioned, on a platform at a train station not far from where we're gathered, Lincoln turned to the crowd that had come to see him off and said, "To this place and the kindness of these people, I owe everything. And being here tonight, surrounded by all of you, I share his sentiment." But looking out at this room full of so many who did so much for me, I'm also reminded of what Lincoln once said to a favor seeker who claimed it was his efforts that made the difference in the election. Lincoln asked him, "So you think you made me president?" "Yes," the man replied. "Under Providence, I think I did." "Well," said Lincoln, "it's a pretty mess you've got me into. But I forgive you." So whoever of you think you are responsible for this, we're taking names. It's a humbling task, marking the bicentennial of our 16th president's birth. Humbling for me in particular because it's fair to say that the presidency of this singular figure who we celebrate in so many ways made my own story possible. Here in Springfield, it's easier, though, to reflect on Lincoln the man rather than the marble giant. Before Gettysburg, before Antietam, before Fredericksburg and Bull Run, before emancipation was proclaimed and the captives were set free. In 1854, Lincoln was simply a Springfield lawyer who'd served just a single term in Congress. Possibly in his law office, his feet on a cluttered desk, his sons playing around him, his clothes a bit too small to fit his uncommon frame, maybe wondering if somebody might call him up and ask him to be Commerce Secretary. He put some thoughts on paper, and for what purpose we do not know. "The legitimate object of government," he wrote, "is to do for the people what needs to be done, but which they cannot, by individual effort, do it all, or do so well by themselves." To do for the people what needs to be done, but which they cannot do on their own. It's a simple statement, but it answers a central question of Abraham Lincoln's life. Why did he land on the side of union? What was it that made him so unrelenting in pursuit of victory that he was willing to test the Constitution he ultimately preserved? What was it that led this man to give his last full measure of devotion so that our nation might endure? These are not easy questions to answer, and I cannot know if I'm right, but I suspect that his devotion to the idea of union came not from a belief that government always had the answer. It came not from a failure to understand our individual rights and responsibilities. This rugged rail splitter, born in a log cabin of pioneer stock, who cleared a path through the woods as a boy, who lost a mother and a sister to the rigors of frontier life, who taught himself all that he knew, and everything that he had was because of his hard work. This man, our first Republican president, knew better than anybody what it meant to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. He understood that strain of personal liberty and self-reliance, that fierce independence at the heart of the American experience. But he also understood something else. He recognized that while each of us must do our part, work as hard as we can, be as responsible as we can, although we are responsible for our own fates, in the end, there are certain things we cannot do on our own. There are certain things we can only do together. There are certain things only a union can do. Only a union could harness the courage of our pioneers to settle the American West, which is why Lincoln passed a Homestead Act, giving a tract of land to anyone seeking a stake in our growing economy. Only a union could foster the ingenuity of our framers, the ingenuity of our farmers, which is why he set up land-grant colleges that taught them how to make the most of their land while giving their children an education that let them dream the American dream. Only a union could speed our expansion and connect our coasts with the Transcontinental Railroad. And so, even in the midst of civil war, Lincoln built one. He fueled new enterprises with a national currency, spurred innovation, and ignited America's imagination with the National Academy of Sciences, believing we must, as he put it, add the fuel of interest to the fire of genius in the discovery of new and useful things. And on this day, that is also the bicentennial of Charles Darwin's birth, it's worth a moment to pause and renew that commitment to science and innovation and discovery that Lincoln understood so well. Only a union could serve the hopes of every citizen to knock down the barriers to opportunity and give each and every person the chance to pursue the American dream. Lincoln understood what Washington understood when he led farmers and craftsmen and shopkeepers to rise up against an empire. What Roosevelt understood when he lifted us from depression, built an arsenal of democracy, created the largest middle class in history with the GI Bill. It's what Kennedy understood when he sent us to the moon. All these presidents recognized that America is and always has been more than a band of 13 colonies or 50 states, more than a bunch of Yankees and Confederates, more than a collection of red states and blue states, that we are the United States. There isn't any dream beyond our reach. There is no dream beyond our reach, any obstacle that can stand in our way when we recognize that our individual liberty is served, not negated, by a recognition of the common good. That is the spirit we are called to show once more. The challenges we face are very different now. Two wars, an economic crisis unlike any we've seen in our lifetime. Jobs have been lost, pensions are gone, families' dreams have been endangered, healthcare costs are exploding, schools are falling short. We have an energy crisis that's hampering our economy and threatening our planet and enriching our adversaries. And yet, while our challenges may be new, they did not come about overnight. Ultimately, they result from a failure to meet the test that Lincoln set. Now, understand, there have been times in our history when our government has misjudged what we can do by individual effort alone and what we can only do together. When we didn't draw the line as effectively as we should have, when government has done things that people can and should do for themselves. Our welfare system, before reform, too often dampened individual initiative, discouraging people from taking responsibility for their own upward mobility. In education, sometimes we've lost sight of the role of parents rather than government in cultivating a thirst for knowledge and instilling those qualities of good character, hard work, and discipline and integrity that are so important to educational achievement and professional success. But in recent years, we've seen the pendulum swing too far in the opposite direction. What's dominated is a philosophy that says every problem can be solved if only government would step out of the way. That if government were just dismantled and divvied up into tax breaks, that it would somehow benefit us all. Such knee-jerk disdain for government, this constant rejection of any common endeavor, cannot rebuild our levees or our roads or our bridges. It can't refurbish our schools or modernize our healthcare system. It can't lead to the next medical discovery or yield the research and technology that will spark a clean energy economy. Only a nation can do those things. Only by coming together, all of us, in union and expressing that sense of shared sacrifice and responsibility for ourselves, yes, but also for one another, can we do the work that must be done in this country. That is part of the definition of being American. It's only by rebuilding our economy and fostering the conditions of growth that willing workers can find a job and companies can find capital and the entrepreneurial spirit that is the key to our competitiveness can flourish. It's only by unleashing the potential of alternative fuels that will lower our energy bills and raise our industry sights, make our nation safer and our planet cleaner. It's only by remaking our schools for the 21st century that our children will get those good jobs so they can make of their lives what they will. It's only by coming together to do what people need done that we will, in Lincoln's words, lift artificial weights from all shoulders and give an unfettered start and a fair chance in the race of life. That's all people are looking for, a fair chance in the race of life. That's what's required of us, now and in the years ahead. We will be remembered for what we choose to make of this moment. And when posterity looks back on our time, as we are looking back on Lincoln's, I don't want it said that we saw an economic crisis, but we did not stem it. That we saw our schools decline and our bridges crumble, but we did not rebuild them. That the world changed in the 21st century, but America did not lead it. That we were consumed with small things, petty things, when we were called to do great things. Instead, let them say that this generation, our generation of Americans, rose to the moment and gave America a new birth of freedom and opportunity in our time. These are trying days, and they will grow tougher in the months to come. And there will be moments when our doubts rise and our hopes recede. But let's always remember that we, as a people, have been here before. There were times when our revolution itself seemed altogether improbable, when the Union was all but lost, when fascism seemed set to prevail around the world. And yet what earlier generations discovered, and what we must rediscover right now, is that it is precisely when we are in the deepest valley, when the climb is steepest, that Americans relearn how to take the mountaintop together. As one nation, as one people. As one nation, as one people. That's how we will beat back our present dangers. That is how we will surpass what trials may come. That's how we will do what Lincoln called on us all to do. And nobly save the last best hope on earth. That's what this is, the last best hope on earth. Lincoln has passed that legacy on to us. It is now our responsibility to pass it on to the next generation. Thank you. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
President Barack Obama speaking tonight here at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Springfield, wrapping up his remarks at the Abraham Lincoln Commission's annual banquet celebrating the 200th anniversary of the birth of Abraham Lincoln. President Obama speaking for about 17 minutes or so that he was at the podium tonight.
And in that sense, the advance information right on the target. We were told the speech would run about 15 to 20 minutes.
And you're right, they were right on target, and it was not the most speeches, wasn't the most political speech we've ever heard from President Obama, but certainly what we did hear tonight was talk again, a familiar theme from him, and that is coming together as a nation, talking about Lincoln having passed his legacy on to us as Americans, and saying that to meet the challenges we face, we have to be united and work together. So borrowing a bit from some of the challenges that Abraham Lincoln faced well over 150 or more years ago.
And I suppose, too, Sean, it is appropriate that we also heard some political humor tonight delivered by, the master of ceremonies for the evening, former Governor Jim Edgar.
That's right. Jim Edgar talking tonight. He, of course, is the MC of this event this evening, and he made a few comments about first of all, saying that Illinois politics has taken its lumps in recent weeks, and that is certainly the case from a national standpoint. What was at one point sort of a shining moment for Illinois to have the president from this state, having him elected back in November, all of the other problems in state government having crept in over the last couple of months, possibly tonight one way to sort of put some of that behind the state, celebrating not only the president coming to town this evening, but also the 200th anniversary of the birth of Abraham Lincoln.
And I noticed too, Sean, with a little humor, as President Obama began acknowledging those in the crowd, including all the constitutional officers and the new Senate President John Cullerton, and then he paused. Is the speaker here tonight?
And, of course, Speaker Madigan is there. He is the husband, of course, of Shirley Madigan, and she is on the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission. So that is one of the main reasons he was here. But he's also a scholar of Abraham Lincoln. I think to get anywhere in Illinois politics, you have to know a little bit, at least, about Abraham Lincoln. And a lot of those who have risen to power in Illinois have found a lot that they can learn from Abraham Lincoln. He's always considered one of the role models. Whether or not they live up to his legacy, they certainly, a lot of people like to talk about how much they have read and known of Abraham Lincoln in Illinois politics.
And, of course, on a day when one of his cabinet nominees has withdrawn, President Obama did acknowledge another Republican member of his cabinet, his transportation secretary, former Illinois Congressman Ray LaHood of Peoria.
And Ray LaHood did follow and come in with President Obama into Illinois. And remember, they did make a stop earlier today at a Caterpillar plant in Peoria, again, to push the stimulus package that is still being finalized there on Capitol Hill. And he attended tonight's event as well. So this was right here, an area that Ray LaHood represented in Congress. His district not only stretched from Peoria, but also through other parts of Illinois, all the way down here into portions of Springfield. So certainly an area he's very familiar with. We know we should point out, too, before time does get away from us, because I think it was something that was interesting and it was touched on during this ceremony tonight, how this is the 100th, actually, banquet that they started doing this back in the centennial of Abraham Lincoln. However, it was in the wake of the violent race riot that had occurred in Springfield. And at the time, back on the very first banquet of this sort, you had no African-Americans invited to that event. There was a separate African-American ceremony held in town, but not at the main event. It was at the Illinois Armory. Tonight, here you have an African-American president addressing the crowd. So it's quite an amazing 100 years that has passed since this whole ceremony began.
And President Obama now is going to be leaving Springfield and flying back to Washington. He'll return to Chicago then, I understand, then to spend the week. And a note to our listeners, Sean, we're going to resume repeating our series of Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial programs. Here on WUIS and on WIPA. You've been listening to live coverage of the speech by President Barack Obama here in Springfield tonight, a keynote address to the annual banquet of the Abraham Lincoln Association at the Crown Plaza Hotel on Dirksen Parkway. For Sean Crawford, I'm Rich Bradley, WUIS News.